Wow. You look fantastic today. And you know what? You look fantastic too. Wow. I love seeing you here. Wow. What a great time of worship. And we get to do something really exciting today. As you can see, we love our kids here at Oak River. And we love that they love God and want to be part of the service. And it is Family Worship Sunday today, so that's why they're all in here. Normally we have a service especially for them, but it's Family Worship Sunday, so they're in with us today. We're happy about that. But we get to officially install our new youth pastors today. Woo-hoo. I'm really excited about this. So I'm going to ask Joshua and Lisa and their kids to come up and join me right up here at the front. And you just kind of stand where, maybe you should stand right here, actually, so everybody can see you somewhere. Yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect. God, I believe, divinely ordained you to be here at Oak River with us. I believe it. And the elders are in agreement with that. And, I'm excited about this step for you guys and for us and how it's going to all work out together. And I know there's good stuff ahead for you and for us. As I was preparing some scriptures to share regarding the installation today, I came across Philippians 1:9, and it says, I pray, this is my prayer for you guys in your role as youth pastors. This is my prayer for all of you too, by the way. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. And then I had a different scripture picked out, and God this morning in my devotion said, no, let's go with this one instead. So this is the one that he led me to that goes right along with that verse. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus Christ, our Savior. And you know what I saw when I read that this morning? I saw a container. Like, our understanding of God is like a container. And the more the container grows, the more of his grace and peace that we can hold. So that's what I speak over you today. I pray that your container will grow. I pray that your container will grow, your container, that being your understanding of who God is and what he looks like. You know, I want you to do a good job as youth pastors, obviously, but I know in my heart if your container grows, you're going to do a great job as youth pastors. So that just follows along. That's the fruit, you know? And then, of course, the familiar one that's many times spoken at installation services. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people, our youth, with good teaching. And so I ask you to do three things, really, in your role as youth pastors. The most important one is give attention to how much God loves you and your love for God, your love for your family, and then your love for Oak River and our youth, in that order. And then the second thing is keep growing in that knowledge and understanding. Not knowledge for knowledge's sake, because we're not about that at Oak River. We're just not. But we are about growing in our understanding of who God is and how great he is. And then number three, patiently do your best to set an example in word and actions to our youth. That's really all I ask of you. If you will accept this responsibility, please answer, we will. Okay, very good. Now I'm going to ask the youth. Now you guys can come to the center. I'm going to move this down just a little bit. Come to the center. I'm going to ask the youth to come up and surround them. Come on, youth. And then I'm going to ask the elders to come and surround them as we pray over them. Elders and spouses. So youth, get right around your new youth pastors. And then elders and spouses, get right behind them. So you're going to be surrounded by a bunch of people who love you. Come on in front. You can come in front. And put your hands on them while we pray. Just put your hands on their shoulder. There you go. That's it. That's it. God, we thank you for sending Joshua and Lisa to us, Lord, and their kids. We thank you for your installation of them as our new youth pastors. And I pray for them that their container will keep growing, their container of understanding you, because then they'll be able to hold more grace and peace and your goodness. And so I pray that most of all for them. And I pray for the youth who are praying for them. I pray that it will spread like a wildfire among our youth. Your Holy Spirit and your goodness will spread like wildfire among our youth, Lord. I pray that they would live up to their name, that they will live up to their revolution name, that they will start a revolution for you, a love revolution, Lord. That's what I pray for them, and I thank you for them, and I pray that you would just cause their beginning foundation days together as a team, as a youth, as the sponsors, Lord, everybody involved. I pray that you would cause them to grow in their understanding of how fantastic you are, and talk about it and live it more and more and more. And we thank you for this, Lord. We thank you for this. We thank you for them, Lord. And we pray a blessing over them, God. Amen. Amen. Do you have anything you want to say, Joshua? I didn't tell you to be prepared. So this is totally spontaneous, everybody. Sorry.
We're just excited to be here. You know, it's such a loving church so far, and we really appreciate you guys and really see God moving. We're excited to be a part of it. So we're definitely excited to be here. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Woo! Thank you, guys. Bless you. Mm-hmm. Bless you. I love it when a kid pronounces a blessing over me. That is like, wow, that's awesome. Before I forget, we had something sent to us recently, and it's been on my shelf for a while, and I really don't have any need for it, but I wondered if any of you might have a need for it. It's called the Watch Word Bible, the easiest way to read and understand the Bible. It's basically a DVD, but it's not like acted out or anything. It's just the words put on the screen. And we have the whole New Testament here. So if any of you have a hard time reading your Bible because it's such small print or whatever, you can plug this in to your DVD player and play this, and it just has scripture. And it's spoken, and it's on the screen. So if anybody would like the whole set, or if they're, you don't fight over them, you know, if anybody wants part of it, take it, please. Anybody think they have a need for that? Raise your hand. Anybody? Marie? Okay, Marie. Anybody else? Okay, if anybody else decides they want one of the Gospels or part of the New Testament, see Marie, and I think she'll share with you. You're welcome. Hope you enjoy that. Well, as I said, it's Family Worship Sunday. So you know what that means? Props. Right? What'd you say? And candy. Props and candy. Absolutely. That's what it means. It's Family Worship Sunday. And we're finishing up our series this week on this month, I should say, on why do church? Why do we do church? If we are the church, why do we go to church? Because it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. As some people say, they're like, I am the church. I don't need to go to church. But I think there's a lot of value in going to church, and we're going to talk about that today. The name of my message is Joints. And for those of you who have some kind of a history, I'm not talking about... Not those kind of joints, okay? Not talking about that. I saw your faces. Joints? Is our pastor really talking about joints? Yeah, but not those kind of joints. A joint is where any two things come together. Where any two things come together, like a joint of your elbow, where this bone is connected to this bone, right? And we could all sing a song about it, probably. The first part of the message today, the first point I want to share is, I need you, and you need me. Part of the value of coming to church together in one place and gathering together is that I need you, and you need me. We could probably sing the Barney song, I love you, but it would be, I need you, and all the adults are going, stop, make it stop, right? Oh, I heard that song so many times with my firstborn. Oh, he owes me big time. Yeah, I heard that song a lot. I need you and you need me. We find this in 1 Corinthians 12:7. That's actually only one of several places that it's mentioned. But in 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says this: a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can look more important than our friends. Oh wait, that's not what it says. But isn't that what we've turned it into? A spiritual gift is given to us not so we can look more spiritual than everybody else. It's so that we can what? Help each other. Every one of you has been given a spiritual gift. Every single one of you. And yes, it does make you feel good to function in the gift God has given you. But that's not why it's been given. It's been given so we can help each other. So we can help each other. I heard Bill Johnson say a few weeks ago on this revival chat that he does. I really enjoy. He's a pastor from California. He said this. I loved it. I better say it right. I'll read it. He said, everything Jesus made payment for is in my account. Everything Jesus made payment for is in my account. Has my name on it. And it's mine. But sometimes I don't have possession of it. God will only give me access to it as I honor someone else who's already flowing in that area. Because you know what? He created us to be a body. He created us to be connected like joints. He created us to do that. So I believe that everything I need in this life is in my in account with my name on it. Every single thing I might need as I go through this life. It's in an account with my name on it. It's mine. But sometimes he'll only let me have access to it as I get close to somebody who's already functioning in that area. Like healing, for example. Maybe someone I know has a gift of healing. And they, when they pray, they have a lot of times that people get healed when they pray. So sometimes, even though the healing is already there for me and it has my name on it, I have to get close to someone who's already flowing in that gift and honor that person. And then I'll get my healing that already was mine. Does that make sense? 1 Corinthians 12:14 through 21 says it this way. This is a really familiar passage to most of you. It says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange your body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Okay, go over to my prop table to demonstrate this verse a little bit, and you're going to get an idea what I'm talking about, especially the kids. No, this isn't candy, actually. I know it looks like the candy bin. You'll get candy after, don't worry. What's wrong with this potato head? What's wrong with it? He has no feet, so he can't stand up. What else is wrong with him? He has arms all over the place, right? What else? He doesn't have eyes. What else is wrong with him? He doesn't have a nose. No, he doesn't have a nose. What else is wrong with him? He's a miniature size, I know, but he looks weird, doesn't he? Why? Because he has all hands. What else, Andy? He doesn't have a mouth. Right. And you know what? Some of us, when we look for a church, as far as why do church, we look for a church that looks just like us. That dresses like us, that speaks like us. We make sure that they fit our little mold of what we think a Christian should look like. And this is what we end up with. A church full of hands. Yeah, it's not very, I mean, it's pretty weird looking, isn't it? It's pretty strange looking. Okay, what's wrong with this potato head? Alex, I saw your hand up. What's wrong with this potato head? No ears.
No ears. Totally no ears.
What else? Right. All that it has is eyeballs and noses. We do the same thing, don't we? Now, here's what I want. I want maybe Joshua and Lisa's kids to build me a real potato head. Okay? While I'm talking, you build me a real potato head that has all the right parts. You see, what we do is we discount anybody who doesn't look the way we think Christians should look. And we end up with a church full of hands or a church full of eyes. And God has designed us to need each other. He's designed us to need each other. I heard a really cool quote this week, and there was no, I looked and looked and looked to try to find out who originally said it, because I'm kind of big on that as a used-to-be English teacher. I don't like plagiarism. I like giving people credit where credit is due, but I couldn't find the credit on this one. But here's the quote. Jealousy is the art of counting someone else's blessings instead of your own. Jealousy is the art of counting someone else's blessings instead of your own. Some of us who function as a hand, all we can do is complain about the fact, I wish I was the eye. I want to be the eye. I want to be more like the eye. Right? That's jealousy. Let's call it for what it is. You're counting someone else's gifts instead of your own. When I was a little girl, I mean, I was little, we did this play in our church. The kids did this play, and it was called I Don't Want to Be the Liver. Has anybody ever heard of that one? It's hilarious because you dress up kids in all these body parts like cardboard, a liver and a heart and eyes and nose and a mouth. It's hilarious. And the whole concept is the liver at some point goes, I don't want to be the liver. I never get to be seen and I'm tired and I don't want to be the liver. And so the liver keels over on the floor. And pretty quickly, all the other parts of the body start keeling over on the floor because we need each other. Now, did you build me a good potato head? Oh, that's what one is supposed to look like. There we go. Now these guys can stand. They can see. They can hear. They even have cool hats. They got style, baby. Yep, well, backward hand, though. There we go. That's all right. Thank you, guys. I love them. They're awesome. What? Oh, you're welcome. You know, what if when we got up on Sunday morning, when the alarm went off and we thought, why am I going to church today? What if instead of thinking, what am I going to get out of it when I go? What if we ask ourselves, God, who can I encourage at church today? Who can I be a blessing to? Because you put gifts inside of me. So I want to be flowing with those gifts. So show me who I can encourage today. Show me who I can bless. Show me who I can get them in touch with your love more. Whoops, be careful. Show me who I can bless. Some of us, we come to church and we're thinking, well, I hope so-and-so speaks to me today. Or we leave, nobody spoke to me. Nobody gave me a hug. Nobody. Ah, come on. We're here to bless each other. Sometimes our Western mindset, our culture, is what's in it for me. And God reverses that and says, no, what's in it for somebody else? What's in it for somebody else? I want to go to church today because I want to see who I can bless. Now, don't get me wrong. There is never a Sunday that I come to church where somebody doesn't bless me. Sometimes it's the kids as much as anybody. They come up and give me a hug. You know, kids, when they give a hug, it's just pure. It's not give me something from it. Sometimes it's thank you for the candy, Pastor Sandy. That's all right, too. But they just want to... Sometimes somebody just gives me a smile and it makes me feel better, you know? It's an encouragement. Sometimes somebody will speak a word to me that will encourage me. So I find myself going, I want to be that way. I want to be that way. I want to encourage someone today when I go to church. So to me, I think we have to remember, I need you, you need me. We're a happy family, or we could be a dysfunctional family, but we're a happy family, right? We choose to be. We choose to be. Point number two, do we want to go natural or supernatural? Now, I know it's all the rage now to be talking about going natural in your food and eating real food, and I think that's fantastic, and I'm trying to up my ante on that and do a little less, you know, freezer stuff or whatever. Easy stuff is what I should say. Quick. So yes, go natural when it comes to food, but if we go natural when it comes to functioning as a church family, we're in trouble. Because the natural response to conflict, two words, does anybody know what they are? When there's a conflict, there's a natural response that psychologists talk about, and they both start with an F. Fight or flight. That's right, fight or flight. Some people, when they think of the church, this is what they see in their mind's eye. You ready for this one? Double covered. Some people, when they think of the church, they go, I don't want to go to church today because I know what church looks like. You ready? Looks like this. This is what it looks like. Oh, see, I already popped his head. Come on. There it goes. That's what some people think of when they think of church. They think it's just a big fight. Not in this church, Betty. You're right. We are so blessed here not to have the fighting thing going on. I am so grateful for that. So grateful, because that is a natural response to conflict. I think for many years in church culture, the big church, you know, overall, that's what was happening in a lot of churches. Just fighting, punching each other, constantly punching each other. Sometimes because they didn't have the same gifts, didn't look the same. Sometimes it was just nasty. Just nasty. And now there's a trend more than fighting. We're going the other way. Flighting. Okay, this church, there's a conflict now. I'm hitting the door as fast as my feet can carry me. I'm out of here. Got to go find a different church where there's not fighting going on. Both are natural responses, but both, I believe, God is calling us to a higher place. I want us to go supernatural, not natural. I want us to go supernatural. So what's the supernatural response? Stay and love. Stay and love. In Romans 15, 5 through 7, it says this, may God, who gives this patience and encouragement, because you're going to need it to stay and love, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ. Do you know when you sing harmony with someone, you don't all sing the same note. You realize that, right? You sing different notes, but that choose to go together. So they blend together. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. Why? So that God will be given the glory. When people look at a church and they don't all look the same, some are wealthy, some are not, some are beautiful, some are not, some are winners, some are, whoops, no, everybody's winners. When people look at a church and everybody's different and yet they're working and they're staying and they're loving and they're working in harmony, people go, that must be God. That's not human. That's not natural. That's not natural. But they know that God must have done a work. And that's what I pray for Oak River. And then the second part of the natural or supernatural, natural response to faults in others. The kids could tell me this. Kids, think about this for a second. Let's say you're out on the playground and you're playing kickball, and a lot of you are really good at kickball, and then this kid comes up who totally misses the ball. Like when he goes to kick it, he's like, psh, and the ball is still sitting there. What's the natural response? What are most kids going to do when they see that? Somebody tell me. Laugh. Yep. They're going to laugh. What else? Anybody else? They might think, I'm really good at kickball. That person's terrible at kickball. What were you going to say? Make fun of him? Absolutely. Playgrounds can be cruel places. And yet sometimes we don't ever grow up. Because sometimes with adults, when we see someone who has a fault, we somehow forget that we have faults too, and we get prideful and disrespectful about them. We get prideful and disrespectful. God has a solution for that, found in Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. And it says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit. Just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. You know, I just want us to read verses 4 and 5 aloud together. I think it's that important. You ready? For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. One faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. When you see a fault in your fellow church member, don't point and make fun and draw attention to their fault. In humility and respect and love, respond to them, making allowance for faults, remembering that you've got them too. Remember that. So what we see, the supernatural response is humility, gentleness, patience, love, and peace. Yes, the natural response is, ah, that's not the one we want. We want the supernatural response. We want to look at them and know, it's not pretending they don't have a fault. It's saying, yeah, I've got my own faults too. Put my arm around you. We're going to help our container of God to grow, help our understanding of God to get bigger and bigger so we can hold more grace and peace and love the way he designed us to do. Because there is one God. There is one Spirit. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And it's worth fighting for. It's worth holding on to. It's worth making allowance for each other's faults. And sometimes we're really good at doing this in our church family, but when we get home, look out. All bets are off. You know what? We have to treat our spouses and our children with humility, gentleness, patience, love, and peace. If we're going to have the kind of family that God intends and dreams of us having, that's the approach we need to take. We need to have humility, not pointing out what's wrong with them, instead going, yeah, I've got stuff too. I've got stuff too. God help me to be a better, you fill in the blank, daughter, sister, spouse, whatever the blank is at that point. And then we will give all glory to God because of it. We will give all glory to God because of it. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you for creating us to be connected like joints, that we need each other. Lord, help us to remember that. Help us to function in that way. Help us to look for people that we can encourage and look for people that we can be a blessing to. Whatever you tell us to do, we're going to do it, Lord. Whatever that is.